From Aspen Public Radio, this is Curated, stories on the artists who visit and live in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm Claire Woodcock, arts and culture reporter here at Aspen Public Radio. It is Monday, September 4th. Happy Labor Day, or day after Jazz Aspen Snowmass's weekend of experiences. For Aspen Public Radio, the experience began in the station on Friday morning with JAS headliner John Oates. He stopped by to play a few tunes, teasing a new solo album due out next year. So hang tight for that. Today's show will also feature a conversation with Steve Mundinger, Jazz Aspen Snowmass's resident concert photographer. He's been with the festival since the beginning and was kind enough to stop by the studio to give me a few tips before I ventured into the pit to play paparazzi. Enough teasing. Thanks for tuning in, and get ready for 3, 2, 1.
I'm John Oates, and I'm going to play a song that my mother taught me in the kitchen when I was a little kid. And it goes back to like 1929. So like I said, I'm heavily involved in oldies. Well, I've been, I kind of have multiple lives. I got my Aspen life, my Nashville life, and multiple musical lives as well. I've got this old-timey thing that I've been doing, and I've also got the Hall & Oates thing, which if you're here in Aspen, you'll hear it in its all its raging glory. So don't ask me to play any Hall & Oates songs, because you'll hear Daryl sing all your favorite hits, and they're going to sound way better than me doing it on an acoustic guitar. So anyway, here's a song that's go here again goes back to the early, actually 1920s and 1930s. It's an old Blind Blake song. Should I do one more?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll do an original one. This is one that I actually have an album coming out in 18 called Arkansas, and it's a lot of these old-timey stuff, which I'm really into right now. And so I thought, well, if I got a lot of this old-timey stuff, I ought to write an original song that kind of talks about why I'm doing what I'm doing. Anyway, that's too convoluted, but anyway, here's the music. It's called Dig Back Deep, because that's basically what I'm doing with all this music, is I'm kind of digging back deep into this stuff that I liked when I was a kid. Mississippi John, staring at the sun, watching that big Kate Allen go slide on by. Moving in a land, moving like a man, take your woman any old way. Deep enough, back to where your heart is coming from. Go on, dig back deep enough. Dig back deep. your heart is coming. Oh, dig back, dig back deep. Oh, how's it? Dig back deep enough. Back to where you started. Deep enough. Back to where your heart is coming from. Come on and dig back deep. Hey.
That was guitarist John Oates, playing acoustic songs as part of Aspen Public Radio's Tiny Couch Concert Series. For the exclusive video of Oates' performance by local videographer Andy Curtis, head on over to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Now, more from Oates.
I want to talk to you about your recent memoir that you released back in March, yeah. Change of Seasons. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the reception of the book a few months later?
I feel really good about the reception of the book. I don't like to dwell on critics, but honestly, with a book, I think it's kind of important that, you know, the critics talk about it in terms of, and what I really like about the criticism I've gotten is that they feel like it's a little bit unusual and outside the box from your, I guess what you'd call your normal rock and roll memoir. It's not dirt. It's not about dirt. It's not about, kind of the seamier side of life, which, trust me, I've had plenty of that. I wanted to take the high road on this one. It's really a book about transformation, and Aspen and the Roaring Fork Valley play a huge part in the book. It was a rebirth for me in a way, coming out here. And, you know, I came here in 1968, 67 actually. I came back in the late 70s through the 80s and actually moved here full time in the late 80s. And that move to Aspen and living here really changed my life in a very profound way. So I concentrated on talking about that in the book. And, every time I come back here, you know, I'm reminded of the great people and the amazing environment that this is a very special place in the world, and I never forget about that.
Right. What I really love about your book, I was listening to it on Audible, so I was actually like hearing you narrate it, which was really cool. It gives it kind of a different, fresh perspective. What I love about it is it's so conversational, and like you said, you kind of take the high road. What did you if anything, did you discover about yourself during this writing and sharing process?
I discovered, like, well, it wasn't a discovery. It was more like a kind of a realization. How the hell did I do all that? I have no idea. I mean, I was driving race cars and flying airplanes and making records and touring. And I don't know how I squeezed all that into a life. So that was really one of the things that shocked me the most. But it was cool to go back, you know, once I started to remember all these various anecdotes and things like that, it was really, really something that opened up the floodgates of memory, and then more memories kept coming. And I had a great co-writer and a great researcher, a guy named Chris Epting, who really helped me out through the publishing process. So the whole thing was an adventure. You know, I'm used to writing songs. I'm used to a little bit of instant gratification. You know, you write a song within a few minutes, you kind of have a sense of whether you've got something or not. With a book, you know, it was a two-year process. So there was a lot of writing and rewriting. And of course, you know, the biggest challenge for me was, how do I tell my personal story when my personal story is so integrally wrapped up in the Hall & Oates story? So interestingly enough, I was writing a lot while we were on tour, and I was with Daryl, and a lot of, you know, obviously a lot of things had to do with him. So I would let him read various segments, especially the ones that had a lot to do with, you know, that where he was involved. He's an avid reader, and he really loves books, and he really gave me a lot of endorsement and a lot of encouragement along the way, saying, you know, it was really cool. I was really afraid that I'd write 400 pages and then all of a sudden have him turn around and go, you can't print that. Hey, man, I don't want that in the book. So rather than have that happen, I kind of cut the corner on that one. So it turned out really well.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing all of that. That really gives an awesome insight into that process. So Daryl Hall is going to be with you tonight.
He's coming? He's going to be here in Aspen?
I think so. That's what
really?
I heard. Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, that's good because that's good, because I really didn't want to have to sing Rich Girl, because I think people would have been disappointed.
Yeah, but you've played with bands like Train and such at Jazz Aspen, and now you have your partnership with you.
Hey, listen. Jazz Aspen. I've jammed for free for about 15 years now, so I'm really, really glad I'm getting paid this time. Very happy about that.
What can folks expect tonight from you and
Well,
Hall?
We have an amazing band. We've been on tour, as I said, since last May. So the band's well oiled. We, you know, got a great group of guys. Daryl. Last time Daryl and I played here was 1988 or 87. And we played at what used to be, well, it's not the Belly Up. It was called the Double Diamond at the time. And it was for Danny Sullivan's 40th birthday party. And that was the last time Daryl's been here. So I've been trying to get him out here for a long time. So this is going to be a lot of fun tonight. We're really looking forward to it. You're going to hear the usual suspects. In a way we have professional responsibility to play the songs that people expect to hear. But we throw in some other songs as well. So it's going to be a fun night.
What did it take to get him out here this time around?
What did it take to get Daryl Hall out here? I'd rather not say.
Fair enough.
No, but seriously, that's a joke. I'm all joking aside. No, he was into it. You know, I've been talking about it for a long time, and it was really a matter of scheduling and just a matter of finding the right time. And this year it worked out, and I'm really happy. And we got a beautiful day. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I know. So you teased a little bit about a new upcoming album in 2018, solo work.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
I'm really excited about this. It's an album called Arkansas. And I began to, you know, over the years, and especially my move to Nashville, what it's done is it's really inspired me and kind of re-energized my feelings for roots music and the stuff that made me want to be a musician as a little kid. And so I started to dig back, and that song Dig Back Deep is kind of an allusion to the fact that I wanted to get back to that. And so I started to rediscover and unearth songs that kind of preceded rock and roll. I thought to myself, well, I'm known as a pop songwriter. You know, I made my career and made my reputation on writing hits, pop hits. But I wanted to say, where did popular music in America kind of start before the revolution of rock and roll in the late 50s, early 60s? And that's what I started digging into. So it was a fascinating kind of exploration of that. And then I got this amazing band and we started playing the music together. And it's everything from Delta blues to ragtime to swing. And I'm really pumped on it. It's going to come out in 18 and I'll tour behind it and, that kind of thing. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, we're so looking forward to that. And I'm just wondering too, like, You talk about in the book how you and Daryl Hall are a partnership, but you're also two separate individual musicians.
Absolutely.
And you're now touring with Daryl again. You're kind of doing that partnership, but you're also going to be doing some solo touring.
Yeah.
How are you going to balance that?
Well, that's what makes it exciting and interesting, to tell you the truth. I love playing with Daryl. I love playing with the Hall & Oates band because, as I said, they're an amazing band. And then, I have this incredible luxury of going back to Nashville and getting into the Americana world, the bluegrass, the Delta blues, and all the other things I do. And it's a great balance. And so it enables me to keep my enthusiasm for the Hall & Oates material. And also I always get charged when I'm doing my own stuff.
So I feel like you're spending a little bit too much time in Nashville.
Yeah, I am. I'm spending a lot of time there. Well, people say, where do you live? And I go, well, I actually live in a hotel. But when I'm not in a hotel, I'm going to divide my time between Aspen and Nashville. Nashville's just been a lot easier for me to travel because of its central location. Anyone who lives in Aspen knows that it's not the exact easiest place to get in and out of in February and January. So it's made my touring life a little bit easier. My son's moved to Washington, D.C., so we're closer to him. But just in general, life changes. I think the only thing you can count on in life is that it's going to change, and you try to embrace it and not fight it.
Well, we miss you out here, but we're really excited to have you tonight.
Well, good. Tell Michael Goldberg to book me at the Belly Up, and then I'll come back.
On it. Awesome. Thank you so
All
much,
right,
John.
Great. Thank you.
You're listening to Curated from Aspen Public Radio.
Why do the bells keep ringing? Why do the birds keep
Hall & Oates headlined the Friday bill this past weekend at JAS. There's a slideshow of photos from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night curated by Aspen Public Radio's digital content manager, Barbara Platts. Go peep those photos when you've got a second. Speaking of concert photos, in the pit with me this weekend was Steve Mundinger. He's actually been in every pit since JAS first started. Predicting we'd get some quality time in the pit together over the weekend, his comfort zone, I invited him to the studio, my comfort zone, to gab about best practices for shooting a festival like JAS. I told him to start with his first JAS experience.
It was April of 91, and I was looking out the window, and it was pouring rain, just absolutely pouring rain. So I was thinking, well, the ski season's kind of shot, so I started thinking about summer, and I picked up a copy of the newspaper, and there was an article about a guy who wanted to start a jazz festival in Aspen. And it had a phone number on it, and it was Jim Horowitz's number, and I called him, and I said, I'm your guy. I want to be the photographer, and I've been doing it ever since.
That's awesome. What was that first show that you shot?
The first show was, I know one of the first things we had, first groups we had was Tuck and Patty, which was a duo, a husband and wife duo. They're just wonderful. Uh-huh. And we actually had them recently. I guess it was like 25 years later, we had them recently at the JS Cafe. And so I hang pictures at the Little Nell, and you know, when we have the cafe there, and also at the cooking school. So I put up a picture of them together, you know, at the first concert, and then again 25 years later. And it's you know, they look great, both pictures, and you know, but they do look a little different, you know.
Okay.
Hair turns gray in 25 years and things like that.
Right. Who have been some of your favorite artists to shoot in the over two decades that you've been doing this with Jazz Aspen?
Favorite artists to shoot, Ray Charles, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Never get tired of photographing those guys. This is probably the fifth time we've had them now over the years.
Yeah.
And you know, that also includes one time when we used to have a festival in Sonoma, California as well that lasted for about 10, 12 years, something like that. And so I photographed them there as well, and all great.
You must have acquired so much insight into the festival circuit and how to take a great photograph when you're up against the artists in the pit.
When you're in the pit, you know, what helps the most is knowing the music that you're listening to.
Okay.
So that you can anticipate when you might see, you know, something going on that is interesting. And also you look for things like interaction between artists. Or if it's a solo artist, then, you know, mostly knowing the music. And so you can say, I know he's going to do something good right here. And sure enough.
So how did you get into photography?
That's something I pretty much always wanted to do. You know, I had my first darkroom when I was 12. And
what does a 12-year-old's darkroom look like?
It was in a bathroom.
What?
It didn't really have a big sink like you would normally have in a bathroom. So I did all the rinsing in the shower, in the tub. And it was also the only room in the house that I can get dark.
What's been your wildest experience shooting this Labor Day weekend experience?
Weather-wise, it was, I remember the time when we were having David Byrne, and it snowed. And so that you know, we just shut the whole thing down for a few hours because it was snowing, and he was supposed to have this big string section, and they couldn't play because of, you know, the string instruments can't play in the cold. But then after a few hours, the sun popped out, and David Byrne just cranked out a bunch of great talking heads, and it was so much fun. And, you know, he just, you know, let it rip, and you know, it was very rewarding after suffering through snow and cold to get David Byrne really tearing it up.
Yeah. What are some of the other challenges that you experience once you get into the pit?
Well, you're limited to how much you can shoot. And so oftentimes it's dictated by the artist. Most of the time you're allowed the first three songs and then you have to get out of there. Mm-hmm. And also you have to respect the audience because you're in front of them. You're between them and the stage. And so you have to not, you know, they paid to get to go there. And when, in terms of the VIP section, they pay a lot of money to go there. So you have to, you know, be respectful of them and be sure that you're not getting in their way and not preventing them from seeing the stage and things like that.
Concert photography, I'm sure, is one of the most fun jobs out there. Can you describe to me what it's like to be in that pit?
Well, it's crowded. It's noisy. You've got security all around you watching every move you make.
Okay.
And if you try to break the rules, they let you know that you just broke the rules, and then sometimes you might get thrown out. And so you have to be very careful and very respectful of everybody that's there. You also have to respect the other photographers that are there so that you don't get in their shots and they don't get in yours.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and there's usually, you know, several news organizations, and there's a couple of other professionals that are there, and some other people that somehow got in there. I don't know how they do, but you know, you just have to work around everyone and still get the shots, you know, because everyone's focused on the stage. Nobody's really focused on everybody else, but you still have to be focused on everybody else, but while being focused on the stage.
Have you ever gotten a stern talking to from the security guards?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Many times.
Okay. Have you ever been thrown out of a pit?
Nope.
Cool.
I've been thrown out, but I've been escorted out, but I knew I was going to be escorted out at a certain point. And when that point comes in, you get escorted out.
What emotions do you try to evoke in your photos?
Mostly it's the joy. You know, I think the joy of the music is what brings the best out in people. I've always felt being a photographer, you know, it's the best job in the world. I'm never going to get rich doing it. Never thought I would. But the richness and the experiences that I've had because of being a photographer, my camera's taken me all over the world. So, you know, it's a wonderful experience.
That was Steve Mundinger, longtime concert photographer for Jazz Aspen Snowmass. Look out for him at upcoming JAS Cafe events and next year's June Experience. Here's what's going on this week in the Valley. Wednesday, Bonobo returns to the Valley to play Belly Up Aspen. That show starts at 9:30 p.m. The annual Snowmass Balloon Festival begins at 7 a.m. Friday, with events happening throughout the weekend. For the full list, visit gosnowmass.com. Friday, there will be an opening reception for an exhibition titled Pattern Recognition and Homecoming at the Launchpad in Carbondale. That reception begins at 6 o'clock p.m. Saturday in Aspen, the 7th Annual Mac and Cheese Festival kicks off at 2 o'clock p.m. Saturday in Basalt, the Ancor Logos Gallery presents the opening reception of exhibition America at Heart Behind the Shutter. That reception starts at 5 o'clock p.m. Saturday in Carbondale, the Carbondale Clay Center celebrates its 20th anniversary with a dinner. Setting starts at 6 o'clock p.m. Saturday in Glenwood Springs, the Glenwood Vaudeville Review welcomes for the first time Thunder River Theater Company's Consensual Improv. That show starts at 6:30 p.m. Saturday at the Launchpad, the Carbondale Salon returns for its 5th anniversary at 7:30 p.m. That's all that's curated this week. For more on arts and culture, tune into Morning Edition weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. and visit us online at aspenpublicradio.org. Where all episodes of this show live. I produced today's show with operations help from Morgan Neely. It was edited by Carolyn Zachariasen. Local musicians Greg Lout and Jason Patton wrote the show's theme tune, Omnicord Entrance. Special thanks to the Stefan Edlis and Gail Neeson Foundation, which aims to support the arts, community, and outreach. Continue to follow Curated APR on Facebook for news and updates on arts in the Valley. I'm Claire Woodcock at the Edlis Neeson Arts and Culture Desk. Thank you so much for listening. Curated is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.